Our subject today is Psalm 51. If it is convenient for you, please open your Bible to this psalm and follow along with us as we consider it verse by verse. This is a magnificent psalm of penitence and pardon, of true repentance and restoration. The inscription tells us it was written by King David after the prophet Nathan had spoken to him following his sin of adultery with a wife, Bathsheba. It was given to the chief musician or choir director in Israel. This indicates how melodious music and praise to God can come out of judged and confessed sin to him. We will see that David desires joy and gladness and restoration to the joy of his salvation. Thorough judgment of sin and self in confession to God, as we see in this psalm, is sweet music to Jehovah. Now we have, first of all, David's plea for mercy and prayer for pardon in verses 1 and 2. The first verse says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." These words show that David had faith and confidence in God's mercy and loving kindness. Another time he wrote, "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him." Psalm 103, verse 17. Mercy is for the guilty and unworthy ones. He believed in the multitude of God's tender mercies, and on that ground he pleaded with God for three things as a guilty sinner. One, he prayed that God would blot out his transgressions. He requested that God would blot them out of his book. Later, God declared to Israel through the prophet Isaiah, "I have blotted out like a thick cloud thy transgressions, and like a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." Isaiah 44, verse 22. Second, David prayed that God would wash him thoroughly from his iniquity. His robe had been polluted by iniquity, by unrighteousness, and he needed washing, like a leper that required cleansing in Moses' day, Leviticus 14:1-9. Third, David requested that God would cleanse him from his sin. He desired a thorough purification from the awful defilement and guilt of sin that lay upon his awakened conscience. After making confession of sins in verse 3 through 6, David prays again for purging and cleansing in verses 7 and 12. We will further consider this subject when we deal with these verses, but now we must move on and look at, secondly, David's confession, verses 3 to 6. 1. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Transgression means to go aside beyond one's limits, to overstep one's rights. In the particular sin of King David, he had overstepped his rights when he took Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and had sexual relations with her. This was adultery, a serious violation of the commandment of God, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," Exodus 20, verse 14. In New Testament language, this was stated by the Apostle Paul as, quote, "not overstepping the rights and wronging his brother in the matter," that is, in the sacred realm of sexual relationship and marriage, 1 Thessalonians 4, 6. As we live in days of terrible immorality and violation of the commandment of God and the rights of our fellow mankind in professing Christendom, we need to speak out against this degenerative and degrading sin of fornication and adultery that is so unashamedly practiced today. It is glaring transgression against the laws and moral standards of God, and overstepping one's rights and disregarding the rights of others. The apostle also wrote, quote, "To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband," 1 Corinthians 7:2. In this sacred and intimate bond of marriage, God-given holy sexual relationships are to be enjoyed. Anything otherwise is transgression, iniquity, and sin that is to be repented of, confessed to God, and forsaken. David was guilty of this awful transgression of taking another man's wife, and even ordering the death of her husband in battle. But he was brought to heartfelt repentance and acknowledgement of his sin to God, and was forgiven and restored to communion with Jehovah. Perhaps this message is being heard by someone who has fallen into this sin of fornication and adultery, and may even be living such a life. We urge you to follow David's example and confess your sin to the Lord in true repentance and self-judgment. God's word says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Proverbs 28, verse 13. Secondly, in David's confession to God, he stated, quote, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." Verse 4. He didn't justify himself, but realized he had to do directly with God, against whom he had sinned. Though he had sinned against Bathsheba and her husband Uriah, he went beyond them and judged his evil as against his God and done in his sight. He realized that his awful sin was an offense against God and was committed while Jehovah himself looked on. He owned divine justice and vindicated God's righteousness. Thirdly, David owned that he was shapen in iniquity and in sin. "Did my mother conceive me?" Verse 5. He went beyond the sins he had committed and judged that the root of it all was the corrupt and the fallen sinful nature of inbred sin he had inherited at birth from his parents, who were of the fallen race of Adam. He realized the source of sin and owned original sin. David confessed he was a sinner by nature. This is what Ephesians 2, verse 3 declares. We all walked according to, quote, "the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." End of quotation. All this modern religionists and philosophers deny today. They like to talk about the God or the good in man, instead of the sin in man. Fourthly, David acknowledged the holy requirements of God when he stated, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Verse 6. He admitted that God desires inward purity, sincerity, and reality, and not just outward confession of the lips. The truly repentant soul feels that God is teaching him truth concerning his inward evil nature, which he had not perceived before. This he expressed in verse 5. David also wanted to know wisdom in his hidden inward being. It is good to know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We come now to a third section of the psalm, that is David's deep prayer for full cleansing, healing, and restoration, found in verses 7 to 12. This request for purging with hyssop and washing clean, David here returns to the request for cleansing he had earlier expressed in verse 2. But now it is a deeper prayer as he pleads, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." He desired that the awful stain of his tremendous sin be purged away with hyssop, and that he be washed and cleansed. This was a reference to the figure and type of the ceremonial law for the cleansing of the leper. A bird was killed, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop and a living bird were dipped in the blood of the slain bird. This blood was then sprinkled seven times upon the leper, and he was pronounced clean. This type set forth what is declared in 1 John 1:7, quote, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." Hyssop, a lowly common plant, was also used in the Passover feast to sprinkle the blood of the sacrificial lamb on the doorposts of the houses. It typified appropriating faith in the atoning blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. David was conscious of the fact that if God washed him, he would be fully clean, yea, whiter than snow. The sinner must be judicially cleansed by God according to his standard of righteousness and holiness. There's only one way to have one's sins purged, blotted out, and be fully cleansed from sin. That is by confession to God and faith in the shed blood of atonement of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 7, 9-14, we have a prophetic picture of a company in a future day who stand before the throne of God because they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Many engage in works of whitewash over their sinful condition instead of coming as a sinner to God and becoming washed white in the blood of Jesus Christ. Radio friend, is your robe washed in the blood, in the death of the Lamb of God? Now we come to what we call B here, David's desire for gladness and rejoicing, as quoted in verse 8. There he prays, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." This request manifests the confidence and trust David had in God and shows the assurance he had of expecting joy from him after his thorough confession of iniquity. With this, we close our present meditation on Psalm 51.